Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we continue our Christmas celebration. We continue it with those aged Old Testament saints, Simeon and Anna, who had spent so many decades of their life waiting. Waiting for God to fulfill His promise to send the Messiah, Israel's Redeemer, the consolation of Israel, their Savior. And finally, God did send Him, and they got to see Him before they died. They wanted nothing else. It says that Anna never even left the temple, but just stayed there in her old age, fasting and praying, probably over 100 years old. Simeon, too, was waiting, it says, for the consolation of Israel. I encourage you to read Luke chapter 2, the verses prior to our text this morning, to review those verses and that account when you get home. They saw their Messiah, their Savior, their Creator, just 40 days old, brought to the temple in Jerusalem to fulfill the law of Moses, to present the firstborn son before God in His temple with sacrifices to redeem him, because God had claimed the firstborn son of Israel back at the time of the Passover when He spared the firstborn sons of Israel. He claimed them as His own and commanded that they be redeemed with a sacrifice, with an animal. So Mary and Joseph brought Jesus on that presentation day, which we celebrate on February 2nd. If we have a service that day especially, we remember the presentation 40 days after Christmas. Today we're presented with the truth of what Simeon and Anna proclaimed that day about this child who was brought to them in Mary's arms, whom God's Spirit revealed to them for who He was, even though the rest of Jerusalem was in the dark about that truth. They knew it, they rejoiced in it, and they gave witness to everyone they encountered about this child and who He was. Not that Jerusalem would remember, because they didn't pay much attention to it afterwards. Not until Jesus came some 30 years later preaching and teaching. But what Simeon and Anna reveal to us today, we remember. We celebrate together with them the coming of God's Son. The coming of God's Son to redeem us and to give us what He has by nature and by right. A Father. A Heavenly Father who loves us for the sake of this Son of God who had finally been born. St. Paul describes to the Galatians in the epistle you heard today just how precious was the gift of that baby boy. He elaborates on what this means, that this child had been born of a woman, born under the law. A secret that Simeon and Anna already knew. That Christ was born to redeem both Jews and Gentiles from their bondage to sin and to give mankind a gift that everyone needs, that gift of sonship, that gift of adoption into God's family. Paul elaborates on that truth that we mentioned on Christmas Day for those who were here, that people are not by nature sons of God. People are not by nature empowered or authorized to call upon God as their Father. That happens only as God makes people His children through Christ, as Paul says. He begins in Galatians, on which we're going to emphasize this morning and meditate for a while on that epistle. He begins by pointing out the similarity between an underage child and a slave. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. That was especially true in first century Israel and Asia Minor, where Paul was and where Paul was writing. The little child of a rich landowner was the heir of the whole estate, the master of the house. But as long as he was underage, as long as he was a child, he had no authority over the other servants in the house. He had no authority to make financial decisions. He was just a child, the heir, but still under guardians and stewards and full-time chaperones who would accompany the children of these rich landowners around wherever they went, giving them no freedom whatsoever. On the contrary, standing over their shoulder all the time, making sure they were learning their lessons in school, punishing them if they were misbehaving in school or out of school, watching over them, guarding and guiding them until they reached the age of maturity when they could inherit the estate that their father would give to them. Like slaves, under bondage, with no freedom to do as they wanted or to decide as they wished, watched over all the time. So it was with Israel. Paul says, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. In other places, Paul describes what he means by the elements of the world. He explains it this way: do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. External rules, external commands intended to keep people's behavior in check. It looks very religious to have these rules. Don't touch that, don't taste that, don't handle that. But such rules have no power to change a sinful heart. Such rules have no power to make a person godly or righteous before God. No power to wash away sins or to earn God's forgiveness. That was the law of Moses. God had made a covenant with Abraham long before Moses was ever born, a covenant to bless all nations through the seed of Abraham, a covenant to be God to Abraham's children and to call Abraham's children his sons, to give Abraham's children the right to call God their father. That was God's covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. But then Moses came along several hundred years later, and God put a guardian over Israel, a steward, a chaperone, full-time, to watch over them, to guard and guide them, to strictly punish them when they disobeyed. That was the law, strict and demanding with its ceremonies and dietary restrictions and rites and rituals and punishments. God was treating His children, Israel, as underage children to train them, to guard and guide them until they came of age, or rather, until Christ came. Until Christ came of age, the true heir of the covenant God had made with Abraham, speaking about His seed in the singular, His offspring, who would one day come. That offspring was the Christ, the Messiah. Now, Simeon and Anna and all the people of Israel since the time of Moses for 1,500 years had lived under those strict regulations, those external rules, which were, as James says in Acts chapter 15, a yoke which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. In fact, the main purpose of the law was to show Israel that they couldn't bear it, that they couldn't keep it. They couldn't work their way into God's favor because they were sinners who couldn't keep the law even if they tried. As for the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the Gentiles were completely lost. They had no covenant with God. They had no relationship with God. They were sinners by birth who were on their own, as it were. As Paul says to the Gentiles in Ephesus, "At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." All the Gentiles had were external laws and regulations of their own. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. Gentiles had laws according to the conscience God had given them. But all they had was the external obedience to those laws, so that the best of the Gentiles, the best of the non-Jews, whoever lived, all they had was an external decency. There were decent Gentiles living in the world, externally decent, but still with no true fear of God, no true love for God, or no true faith in God, still lost. That's how the world went on for hundreds and hundreds of years, with Israel confined and burdened under the law, unable to save themselves, and Gentiles with their own inborn law, still unable to save themselves. But all that changed when Christ was born. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The world had sat in darkness long enough. It was time for the light to appear. The only way for sinful men to be saved was for God's Son to become a man, to be born of a woman, just like all of us were. And that's that important truth to remember, as you heard on Christmas Eve again too. If you are born of a woman, Christ was born like you. Christ was born for you. You too can be saved. God's Son was also born under the law. And we see Him keeping that law already in today's gospel, as Mary and Joseph took Him to the temple as God's law commanded 40 days after a male child was born, that His mother should go and be purified of her childbirth, and that the Son should be presented before the Lord with sacrifice. The only begotten Son of God kept the law, not just that day, but every day thereafter. He kept it for everyone born of woman, in order to redeem us from our slavery to sin, death, and the devil, in order to make us sons of God, now with the full rights of children, full-grown children. The greatest privilege we now enjoy is the forgiveness of sins through faith in Christ. And along with that forgiveness, along with that erasing of sins and the canceling of debts, goes the right to approach God as our dear Father with all the boldness and confidence of dear children. As Paul says, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" By dying for your sins on the cross, by calling you to repentance and faith, by forgiving your sins in holy baptism, and maybe calling you back to faith after a life of unbelief. Christ has given you a favorable Father on whom you can call at all times, in every situation, in time of need, in time of joy, in time of sorrow. You who believe in Christ always have a Father with you who loves you, who hears you, and who is working together all things around you for your good, not because you've earned His favor, but because Christ, your brother, has earned His favor and given you God's favor as a gift through faith. That's the privilege we enjoy throughout this life. The greatest privilege of all comes after that, at the end of the age, as Paul concludes. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. An heir is one who will inherit the possessions of his Father. If God is our Father through Christ, just think about what that means for you as heirs. All things belong to God, even heaven and earth, even life itself. And now, through Christ, all of that is what the saints of God, believers in Christ, will inherit. So, can you put up with less for now? Can you live with some sorrow and suffering and loss in your life for a little while? Truthfully, if you are God's child, even now through Christ, then you can and should deny the flesh and say no to serving yourself here and now, and say yes to serving your neighbor and loving your neighbor and sacrificing earthly pleasures and riches and gain. Setting aside all those things now that you'd like to have and you think you need money to have. If you will inherit all things, you can live without those things now. And if you really have a Father who loves you, you don't have to worry about providing for yourself now either. Through the abilities and opportunities He gives you, He'll provide for you. But now, as a dearly loved child, you can do as Jesus says and seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, knowing that all these things that you need will be given to you because you have a Father. God is your Father, and you are His Son, His child, His heir, Paul says, through Christ. Remember that part. You have no father apart from Christ. Apart from Him, all you have is an angry judge who will justly punish you for your sins. Through Christ, that is, through faith in Christ, you have only God's fatherly favor and love and forgiveness. That's why Simeon rejoiced. That's why Anna rejoiced, because now they had Christ and He could not be taken away from them. They rejoiced to see that child. See what joy He brings to you too who know Him, who trust in Him. Since you only have God as your Father through Him, stay close to Him. Keep hearing His word where He is. Keep receiving His sacrament where He gives His body and blood to you. There you find Him near. There you find His strength and power. Rejoice in His real presence here among us today in bread and wine. He has given His life for you since He was born for you. And He comes now in word and sacrament to give that life to you and to share His Father with you. Rejoice, you sons of God. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.